When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Before this episode begins, I must confess something. This is very serious. I forgot to talk about Grimace in this episode. I am so sorry, and I promise this will never happen again. Enjoy the episode. Love you. What is going on, everybody, and welcome back to District Baseball. You can follow us on Twitter at DistrictBSB, and you can follow us on YouTube and TikTok at District Baseball, and you can follow me on Twitter at Reverse, two R's, two S's. It's Trey here, solo this week. Nick is coaching some travel ball, so it is just me recapping this week of MLB action, but we've got some good stuff, some bad stuff, as per usual, to talk about, and I just realized that my notes are incorrect, and that is a problem, and now it's fixed. Let's get into it. So real quick, before we start, a little bit of housekeeping. I changed my mic setup a little bit, so I'm hoping it sounds a little bit better. I'm also trying to eventually soundproof, or, you know, some form of soundproof. I kind of have my desk on a corner right here, and it can be a little echoey, so I'm trying to fix that. So definitely let me know if it sounds better, sounds worse, what you prefer in the comments if you're watching on YouTube. But other than that, it is time to get into a recap, so let's kick it off with three up, three down. Leading things off for the recap is Trent Grissom. He recently had a plate appearance where Yankees fans really didn't want to see him up. They were really wanting Juan Soto. They made it very known to Trent Grissom and everyone in the park that they wanted Juan Soto to be the hitter at that time, and Trent Grissom said, "Hold my beer," and hit an absolute tank shot. I believe it took the lead against the Dodgers off Tyler Glass now. The reason they were chanting that was because Soto was on the bench. Now, he wasn't, like, benched or anything. He was injured, so, like, he wasn't gonna play, guys. But either way, it was a cool moment for Trent Grissom. Not Yankees fans. Yankees fans, you don't really deserve anything, honestly. Support your guy, okay? Like, I get that Juan Soto's better. Everyone knows this, but he was hurt. He wasn't gonna be there. So, I don't know. Get behind your guy. But either way, they got rewarded. But happy for Trent Grissom silencing the haters, and all his teammates were very excited for him. But our first out of the day, Pat Hoberg. This is a bizarre story, and the reason I'm not going to cover it as a full topic yet is because there's very little info. But basically, if you didn't see, umpire Pat Hoberg, the man who called the only perfect game in World Series history as an umpire, apparently was caught up in some kind of gambling scandal. Now, Major League Baseball has disciplined him, and he has not umpired this year. However, he's appealing, and he has stated that he did not bet on baseball, and MLB really didn't give any information about what the suspension is, the length of time, why it happened. So I don't really want to say for sure what's going on, because nobody really knows. There's going to be an investigation, I'm sure, and hopefully we'll get a bit more info, but it is a little weird that they kind of just came out and were like, "We're disciplining you, but we're not going to tell anyone why, and then you're going to deny that you did it." and now everyone's just confused. But either way, it's not a good look, and if it does turn out to be warranted, it's really not good, because then you can't, I mean, we saw that this happened in the NBA. Tim Donaghy, I believe, was the dude's name, the ref, who bet on games, and it was not good. It was not good, and it's not going to be good if this is happening in baseball, and it's already happening with players, and it would be even worse with officials, because especially with umpires, especially with balls and strikes, you can impact some things. So just got to keep on the lookout for that. Not saying anything definitive, but it's not a good thing at all that this is even questioned. So yeah, not good. Thank you, Mr. Motorcycle, for anyone who could hear that in the background. Anyways, moving on to our on deck, which is the Reds, excuse me. The Red Hot Reds have been really playing well in the month of June. They are currently 9-5 this month, and they went on a 7-game winning streak during that time. And it's really been on the backs of their hitting, which was definitely not the strength of this team up until this month, basically, because their pitching had kind of been keeping them in the running, and also the fact that the National League is just not very good. But now their batters are starting to get it going. They got TJ Friedl off the injured list, and he has come out absolutely scorching hot with a 170 WRC plus since the beginning of June. But the big guy in the offense right now is Jamer Candelario, the Candyman. I love the Candyman. He was on the Nationals last year for half a season. Got us DJ Hers, who threw 13 strikeouts. And now he signed with the Reds, and it was a rough start. It was a rough start for Jamer. It was kind of similar to last year when he signed with the Nats. He had a rough start. But once the weather heated up, so did the Candyman. And yeah, he has a 209 WRC plus in the month of June. He has 6 homers this month. He is basically just swinging at everything and crushing everything. And yeah, that's the Reds really, really needed him to produce, because their offense in general just hasn't been what we thought that it could be this year. And they've had some injuries, and, you know, everyone's had some injuries, I feel like, this year. Obviously a big free agent signing coming through finally is a good thing for the Reds. And they're right back in the thick of things in this wild card hunt in the National League. So good on the Reds for going on a little run. Let's see if they can keep it up. Anyways, now we're on our second down, which is the Oakland A's. They are on an 8-game losing streak. It was kind of cool to see them start the year somewhat decently, because this is the last year that Oakland A's baseball will be played. I don't mean to pile on to A's fans, because they've already suffered enough with getting their team ripped from them. But we do have to cover what's going on, and they are currently on an 8-game losing streak. They also play tonight again. They had a doubleheader. They lost the first game today. Not sure what's going to happen with that, because it just started about 20 minutes ago, but they could be on a 9-game losing streak by the end of the night, which would be, honestly, I'm kind of expecting it. They're 3-11 in June, and they have been walked off 3 of their last 5 games, so that's pretty brutal. So that sucks for the orange and gold. I mean, the orange and gold. The green and gold. Who's orange and gold? Nobody. I don't even know where that came from. Anyways, the green and gold struggling here in the summer months. But then we got a feel-good story to finish out our ups here. We've got Rafael Marchand. This is a Phillies catcher. He hit his first home run since the 2021 season, on his first hit since the 2021 season. He has 3 total MLB homers now, 1 in 2020, 1 in 2021, and 1 in 2024. Now, the reason why this is kind of crazy, right, is this kid doesn't really play much. He's kind of a backup to a backup. Stubbs is kind of their backup. Stubbs is now basically their starter, because Real Muto is getting knee surgery, so that's why Marchand was called up in the first place. But his numbers are just really funny, because he's played like 25 games. He has 73 plate appearances in the major leagues and 3 homers. But if you look at his minor league stats, 8 seasons in the minor leagues, 416 games, 1,600 plus plate appearances, and he only has 8 homers in that time. So it's just baseball is just really funny sometimes, because how you can play that many minor league games with that large of a sample size, everyone in the world would think that you're not going to be able to do any type of power hitting at the major league level, and yet he he has 17 hits in his career, and 5 of them are for extra bases, and 3 of them are homers. Baseball. But yeah, good for Marchand getting another shot and making it count with some cool stats. That one will be remembered for a while. I mean, weird stats get remembered, so he's got one. Congratulations to Marchand. And then we have our third down is it's kind of the Cubs in general right now. They're just not playing well, but specifically Patrick Wisdom. They played on Friday, and the wind was wild. It was blowing in the Windy City, Wrigley. Everyone knows the reputation. You get some crazy wind balls there. This time, it was blowing directly in from left field at like 25 miles per hour. And Patrick Wisdom, let's call it what it is. He hit a homer. He hit a homer on any other day, on any other park, at any other time. It's a homer. 111 miles per hour off the bat, 33-degree launch angle. Homer. It only went 350 feet because the wind absolutely blew it back in. And the look on his face, I mean, I got it. I understood. Even in the post-game press conference, he kind of just had a sly smirk. Like, you know it, I know it, that was a homer, and the wind kept it in. And that's just a huge bummer. It seems like nothing can go right for the Cubs right now, whether it's, you know, them just playing poorly or them getting really bad luck. Like, that's very bad luck, because also the Cardinals managed to sneak a homer out to left field, and the Cubs could not. And it just seems like nothing's going right for them right now. And that's just a big moment to point to when you look back at this season for the Cubs if they end up, you know, kind of falling out of the race here. But that was 3 up, 3 down. Hope you guys enjoyed that recap segment, but we're going to go ahead and get right into our second segment here, our first topic, which is the Astros, because we need to talk about Houston just in general, but also they did something this week that's very interesting. They released Jose Abreu, who they signed to a 3-year contract before last season, so they are actually paying him $30 million over the next year and a half to not play for them. That is completely insane. But when you look at the numbers, it makes sense. He's one of the worst players in baseball this year. He has a negative 1.5 F4, a slash line of, let's see here, is this it? Yes. 124, 167, 195 on the season. That was in 35 games played. They actually sent him to essentially like a rehab assignment, but not really, because he wasn't hurt. It was just they tried to send him down to find his swing and then bring him back up, see if they had anything. And he doesn't have anything left, which, you know, that always sucks to see. You never want a guy to go out in such a horrible manner, but at the same time, the organization sometimes has to step up and be like, you know what, we got to take our L. We made a bad signing, and it's not going to work, and we got to give somebody else a chance if we want to win. And the Astros do want to win. That's kind of their main thing, that they've become this dynasty. There's no way that they are going to sell. So they want the best players in their lineup that they can get. And if that means they have to eat $30 million, that's what it means. Now, having said that, they're in an interesting position. Because, like I just said, I don't see the Astros being a team that wants to sell at this deadline. Even though, right now, their record would suggest that they probably should. The thing is, they're kind of all in with this group right now. They haven't signed some of these guys. I mean, I guess they could sell, but I don't think that's coming. but I believe the only guy who is running out of his contract is Bregman after this year. I believe Tucker still has 2 years, or a year and a half. When I say that, I'm including this season. Alvarez is still under control. Altuve was just re-signed to a long deal. I believe they signed Peña to a long deal as well. If they didn't, he still has multiple years of control. So the only guy that they really have that's on a one-year deal is Bregman. And, he actually has played his way back into a decent slash line here. He started really bad, really, really bad. But now he's back over an average WRC+, and he's also one of the better defenders at third base, just an overall solid defender over there. Now, what do the Astros do here? They're 33-39, and right now, I think all the teams in the AL East and four of the teams in the AL Central have better records than them. That is nine teams ahead of them in a potential wild card race. Obviously, three of those teams would win the division, and that would take it down to six. But still, a lot of teams in the way. I think their best course of action is to try and win the division. The Mariners are playing pretty well, but they're only nine games back of the Mariners. It's mid-June at this point. Nine games is nothing to sneeze at. You know, you got to start looking at that and being like, okay, we got to make some progress here. But it's not impossible. It's not insurmountable. So I think that's where they need to be looking, because I really don't see how they're going to make the wild card with the way that the AL East is shaping up. And the Central is just such a surprise. It looks like the Royals are going to claim one of those wild card spots already, like kind of just lock them in. And then the Twins are right there too. And even the Tigers have a better record than Houston and their old manager over there, AJ Hinch. So it's just really... I honestly don't know what I'd do here, because the offense is still really good. They still have their guys. Like Tucker is having a ridiculous year. Alvarez has really started to get it going. Altuve is Altuve. He's kind of one of the more consistent second basemen in baseball. And now Bregman's starting to get it going. I mean, that core of guys is starting to play well. And offensively, overall, the numbers are pretty good. I believe they have a 111 WRC plus as a team. So, I mean, that's very good. That's probably top 10, if not top 5 right now. The pitching has been the problem big time, especially the bullpen, although they've been kind of just average. Everything about this team has been average in terms of, like, win-loss, in terms of pitching, since basically the beginning of May. They're like two games over 500 since then. And that doesn't sound that bad, but like, this is the Astros, right? Like, this is a team that dominates. This is a team that comes through and wins their division and wins championships. So it's just very weird to see them six games under 500 and, you know, having to make a decision at the deadline. I think they end up buying. I think that's what they end up doing. I don't know how they do it. I'm not really sure. I haven't looked at their farm system. I don't know what they have, but I don't see that this team being one to throw in the towel and sell. And I think their GM said something similar, like, we're going to compete. So based on that, I'm seeing them probably buying at the deadline, even though it might be slightly ill-advised just looking at their roster right now, because they definitely do not want to go down. They just don't. They don't want this dynasty to end. So I would look for them to trade for some pitching. They desperately need it right now, especially in the starting rotation. Christian Javier he just got put on the injured list. I think he's getting Tommy John. And I'm pretty sure Verlander is also on the injured list now. So a lot of injuries, some inexperienced pitchers getting thrown in and just not having the experience or skill necessary to hang. They've gotten lucky that Ronel Blanco has been so good for them, because if he wasn't, this would be a disaster. But still, thinking they're gonna buy at the deadline. And then heading into our third topic, there's another team here that is, and actually let me look at their current score because they're playing right now. This is the Red Sox, by the way. This is another team where I'm trying to figure out what they're gonna do, because they're in a really tough division. I'm trying to see if they're winning right now. They are. It's 3-1. Good for them. Basically, the Red Sox have kind of been teetering around 500 for, like, the past month. So much so that they've actually been alternating between 500 or a game above or below since May 24th. And within two games of 500 or above or below since May 7th. So they just can't seem to break out of that curse. I thought they were going to do it when they walked into Chicago against the White Sox team that had lost 13 in a row. And yet they just proceed to lose that series. Actually, I think they split because it was four games. And not actually make it. And then they go and play Philly and beat them. It's crazy how this team just kind of refuses to go anywhere. they're staying the course. But they are winning right now, and they are one game over 500. So could they break it against the New York Yankees tonight? It could happen. It could happen. So that's something to watch out for. Well, you'll already know the answer to that. But I do not currently as I record this. But the Red Sox are also in an interesting spot. They're third in the AL East. They're 36-35, and I believe they are three games back of the wild card. The AL wild card is also better than the National League wild card. So teams with, you know, 500 or slightly below 500 records in the AL are going to be probably looking to sell more so than teams in the NL with similar records, because right now I believe the National League has only one team in the wild card with a winning record. Let me check that. Because the Nationals are actually tied for one. So right now, the only team with a winning record in the National League wild card is the Braves. The Cardinals are 35-35 in the second spot. And then it's the Padres and Nationals tied for the last spot, both one game under 500.
Why are so many dogs suffering from health issues? Actress Katherine Heigl, who's helped save over 16,000 dogs through her foundation, says she's seeing more issues with dogs' joints, odors, and health than ever before. And after doing a ton of research, she feels there's one place we can look to support any dog's health: their food. So she decided to create something she could actually feel good about feeding her dogs. It's called Superfood Complete. Superfood Complete is made with over 30 of the healthiest ingredients on the planet, including several superfoods vital to your dog's health. Badlands Ranch also sponsors the Jason Debus Heigl Foundation, which has helped rescue thousands of dogs and place them in loving homes. Dogs across America are trying this food and experiencing amazing health benefits. Go to badlandsranch.com/save50. In order right now to get up to 50% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. If you want your dog to experience all these incredible things, go to badlandsranch.com/save50 today.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at cenovus.com.
Crazy stuff to think about with how bad the National League has been. But yeah, the American League is not similar. The American League, the Twins are in the last spot. I believe they're plus +7 in terms of their win-loss record. So a little bit better, which kind of, again, brings to the point, like, what do you do if you're the Red Sox? What do you do if you're the Astros? Some of the underlying data actually suggests the Red Sox are better than their current record. They have a plus +32 run differential and an expected record of 39-32. So that would actually put them on par with that Twins team for the third wildcard spot. It's just like, what do you want, though? Like, do you want to just make the third spot, or do you want to, you know, retool and try and get some pieces for next year? I think that's kind of a key with this Red Sox team, because as currently constructed, I think they could make the playoffs, but I don't think they're going to make any noise. Now, having said that, I didn't think the Diamondbacks last year were going to make any noise, and they made the World Series. So just getting in can get you there. Like, it's kind of the balancing act of between, like, we want to be, you know, division-winning, dominant, have the first round bye, or do it, we want to just, you know, get in and see what happens. And that's going to be the difference this year for the Red Sox. I think they did not expect to be this good. I think that they were kind of... I want to say that their ownership in GM was hoping that they would be worse so that they could easily sell this offseason and then, or not this offseason, this deadline, and then in the offseason potentially make some more splash moves to try and get the fan base back into it. Because they didn't really do much of anything good in the offseason, this past offseason, besides Tyler O'Neill. That was a great signing. He's been very good for them. But realistically, the reason that they've been this good is because of their pitching development. It has just... there's been some teams that have found some pitching that I was not expecting. And the Red Sox are one of them. I did not think that this... on paper, before this season, there is no way that this rotation was supposed to be this good. And yet, here they are. Tanner Houck is basically the Cy Young front runner right now. Cutter Crawford's been really good. Cooper Criswell's been solid. Bayo has had his struggles. But, you know, like, they're pretty solid overall. Like, this is a pretty good pitching staff. They don't have any guys that are really blowing it, basically. A lot of solid guys. And then right at the top, Houck is really doing a lot of heavy lifting at the top. Like, he is the stopper right now. He's throwing the most innings, and he has like a 2.08 ERA right now. I think 91 innings might lead the league at the moment. I will quickly verify if that is the case. I was wrong. However, I believe he probably does lead the league at certain points. It just depends on when he's pitching. Because right now it's Lugo, but Lugo just threw yesterday. So Houck hasn't thrown in like 4 days. I think he pitches tomorrow, or whenever they next play after tonight. But either way, the pitching has really been the key, and they've had some guys on offense that have taken a step, like Jarren Duran, who I will get to in our next segment. But, you know, I'm not 100% sure what they will do either, because for the Red Sox, like, roster-wise, I'm not sure they have that many pieces that they want to, like, sell. A lot of these guys have control, and it's going to be weird. I could see them actually just doing nothing, which would probably not be what a lot of fans want to see, but I'm kind of thinking that's what they might do, because I can't see them buying with how they operated in the offseason. And they don't really have the pieces to sell off. Like, not really. I mean, a lot of these guys have multiple years of control that have been playing well for them. Or they're signed to a long-term deal, like Devers or Rafaela. Obviously, they wouldn't be wanting to trade him or anything. So with that, you're kind of just like, well... what do they do? If I was their GM, I would buy, because they've clearly shown me that they were willing to, that they want to compete this year. They're right in the thick of it. And also I would buy with the intent of also purchasing more contracts, next year for free agency. But that's also not realistic. So, basically the Red Sox are probably going to stay put and probably end up around 500 and probably not make the playoffs again. But there actually is something with this team, so I hope that they consider trying to boost them. They've got some young guys playing really well. So there is something for the future here with the Red Sox. They've got they've got something, but they need to add a little bit more, and they just didn't do that this offseason. Not enough, at least, I don't think. But there's still a lot... Sorry, that was my phone. There's still a lot of time left to play. It is mid-June, which... seems like you're deep into the season, and yet there's still a whole second half left. So we'll have to wait and see how they want to approach that. Anyways, let's move on to our fourth segment, Surprising All-Star Hopefuls. This is where I'm going to get into Jaren Duran, but as well, I will get into Jerks and Profar and Anthony Volpe. I'm talking about position players for this. There's actually a lot of pitchers that we could talk about for, you know, first-time All-Stars or surprising All-Star, potential All-Stars. So maybe we'll get into that next week. But for now, I'm going to go with these position players. First guy, Jaren Duran, as I mentioned earlier, the Red Sox young stud. He's really come into his own last year. He had a very strong finish to the year, and with a 120 WRC plus in about 100 games, and then this year is kind of his first, like, you're the guy, you're going to start for us, you're going to play every day. And all he's done is basically do everything well. He's hitting for a good average, 275. He's getting on base at a solid clip with a 9% walk rate out of the leadoff spot. And most importantly, he is leading the league in triples, and it's not really close. He likes to run the bases. And, like, he's, like, really fast, but I wouldn't call him one of the ultimate fastest players in baseball, yet his hustle level is off the charts. I mean, the dude, as soon as the ball leaves his bat, it is a full-blown fire drill. He is sprinting out of the box. Doesn't matter if it's a pop-up, doesn't matter if it's a chopping ground ball. He is sprinting. And so he's, like, always, like, already rounding second. He wants the triple. It's not even, like, he's probably risking getting thrown out certain points so he can get the triple, and I kind of love it. He's like, I want that extra base. He wants it more than other people. I like that. He's definitely a grinder. He's got that dog in him. I'm sure Red Sox fans have attached themselves very heavily to Duran. He kind of embodies, you know, what that franchise, what that fan base expects from a guy who I believe is a young player. Yeah, he's 27 now, so actually, he's actually older than I thought. But he definitely looks like a polished player, so perhaps the lengthy time in the minors for him was a good thing, because right now he looks like a very solid contributor for this squad. And he should be on the All-Star team unless he has some kind of malfunction for the next, like, couple weeks. But then moving on to our next slugger, Jerks and Profar. I actually made a short and a TikTok about him specifically because he's just kind of a funny player. He really only does well when he's on the Padres. And this year he's done exceptionally well as a member of the Padres. A 166 OPS plus on the season. He is top 15 in F-WAR. And this is a guy who was kind of falling out of the league. Like, it seemed like this might be his last shot. He wasn't signed to a major league deal until after spring training, once he made the team. And that is crazy, because this is a guy who was a teenager when he made his debut. And everyone had all these high expectations for him, and he just never quite got to that level. And seemingly now, at age 32, he has found that potential. I don't know if this is going to last, especially not at this level. I mean, he's playing at a ridiculous pace right now. I can't imagine that will sustain. But either way, this is cool. This is cool, and he definitely deserves to be an All-Star. Because this was a guy who maybe wasn't going to be on a team, and all of a sudden, he is one of the best players in baseball this year. So very cool stuff from Profar. Good luck to him the rest of the year. And finally, I'm going to talk about Anthony Volpe of the New York Yankees. I've said before that I don't think Anthony Volpe's bat has such a high ceiling. I think that he could be a good hitter. And that's all he has to be. He just needs to be an above average to good hitter, which is what he's doing right now. He's got a 112 WRC plus. He's doing really well at that leadoff spot, getting on base. I'd like to see him run a bit more, but the Yankees don't really seem to want to do that because they have guys behind him that are going to be able to drive him in via the home or via the double. So I kind of understand that, but he really could excel in the base paths even more if they let him. But the main thing is that Volpe's glove is absolutely ridiculous, especially at this stage in his career. He is already one of the most elite defensive shortstops in the game, and I would probably put him in the top five in terms of defensive shortstops. right now. And when you have that level of glove and you have that level of base running ability and you add just enough with the bat, you don't even have to be that great with the bat. You just have to, like, show up. And that was kind of the difference between last year and this year with him, because last year he didn't have the bat. Like, the bat was to a point where his bat was bad enough to where the glove didn't make up for it enough. Now his bat is good. It's not great, it's not amazing, but it doesn't have to be. It's good, and it goes with that elite glove, it goes with the base running, and it has put together this package of a great leadoff player. And again, he's like 24. Like, this is a really young dude. He could get better with the bat. But right now, I mean, I'd take this production right as he is right now for the rest of his career. I mean, if I'm a Yankees fan, I'm like, this is good. I'll take it. I mean, you obviously would love to have more, but you can't complain about it. And I think that he's done enough, especially because I love fielding. And I feel like all-star voters don't really care about that. So I don't know if he'll actually get in. He might just because he's a Yankee. But he probably deserves it as of right now to at least make the team. I'm not saying starters. We'll probably get to our starters next week about who we actually think should start the games. But those are my three position players that I think have a chance or should make the All-Star team, whether that's starting or in a bench role. And finally, we're going to quickly touch on Paul Skeens' last outing right here at the end because he was very, very good. Again, he went 6 1/3 innings against the Cardinals, gave up 0 runs, struck out 8, and lowered his ERA on the season to 2.43. And I bring him up because I saw a question on social media. Should Paul Skeens be an All-Star? And I'm like, so my immediate reaction to that was, no, obviously not. He's just got here. And then I was like, I started thinking a little bit. Because of the amount of pitching injuries this year, should Paul Skeens be an All-Star? I'm kind of like, I think if you took him right now, no. But, like, let's assume he continues to pitch well for the next couple weeks. I don't know. I mean, there's a lot of really good pitchers, a lot of deserving guys. But I, honestly, for the wow factor and for the star power factor, I wouldn't hate him being the Pirates representative. And, like, they don't have... Do the Pirates really have a guy right now that needs to make the team? I don't think so. I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, Pirates fans. Correct me if I'm wrong. I love Connor Joe, by the way, and he would probably be my position player that would potentially be the Pirates representative. But they've had a lot of, like, solid performers, but I wouldn't say that they've had anything, like, mega standout as of now. Besides Skeens, I feel like Skeens has kind of been, you know, that backbone, that draw. I mean, Jared Jones has also been really good, but not quite as dominant as Skeens. And Jones is also coming off a pretty poor outing. I think Skeens is just not going to have the innings required to make the All-Star team. But, like, in terms of the best player on this Pirates team right now, I'd probably have to give it to Skeens. And that's pretty crazy to think about because, you know, I had assumed that he would have been good eventually. This is very quick for anyone. Much less, I mean, he's a number one pick, but still, this is very, very quick that he is. It's not even quick that he's come up and played. It's quick that he's come up, played, dominated, and looked so polished. He really, really pitches. It's not, he's like, he has the stuff to where he could be a thrower. He could just chuck that ball down the middle of the plate at 101 and probably be a decent reliever. But he's a pitcher. He really locates, he sequences, he tunnels, and then he's also got the absolute nastiest stuff imaginable. His splitter is just silly. And he's added, he's really managed to use all of his different pitches in an effective way. And the fastball, I remember people having issues with the shape. I think that that's kind of been put to bed when you've seen how it plays at the major league level. He can throw it anywhere in the zone, and it really works. He can throw it down, he can throw it up, he can throw it outside, he can throw it inside. He can locate anywhere. And that's kind of what's really been the most impressive, not just the dominance, not just the stuff, but pitching. He's pitching out there and doing a damn good job of it. And I think he could potentially be the Pirates All-Star. You know, MLB will pick the All-Star for teams that, like, don't have enough votes. I believe that's how it works. And if MLB has a pick, they want Paul Skenes in that game. So be on the lookout for a potential Skenes All-Star bid. But either way, even if he doesn't make it, he has been very, very good this year for the Pirates and is looking like a future stud and Cy Young contender for years to come. So stay healthy, because everybody's been getting hurt. We need somebody to stay healthy, please. But that is going to do it for today. And yeah, that's going to be the end of the episode. I think I got through everything I wanted to talk about this week. Yes, I did. So we will be looking towards All-Star rosters next week. We'll probably have an episode of just All-Star rosters or a video or something like that. So be on the lookout for that. And make sure to like, comment, subscribe on YouTube. Make sure to follow on Twitter. Make sure to check us out on TikTok. All that good stuff. Hit notification bell, everything like that. We want you guys to know when we're uploading. And we're going to be trying to kind of ramp it up a little bit. Specifically me. I need to start ramping it up a little bit. I'm trying to get some more shorts out, some more TikTok stuff. And potentially some live streaming stuff. I haven't decided exactly how I want to do it, but I want to try. I've done it before, but I want to kind of change it up, make it more entertaining. But anyways, that's all of the things I need to talk about. Just again, make sure to follow us, hit subscribe, hit like, and all that good stuff. And we will see you in the next episode of District Baseball. Peace.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at synovus.com.